President Trump's science advisor, Michael Kratsios, testified before the Senate Science, Commerce, and Transportation Subcommittee, outlining President Trump's AI action plan. He said the administration's strategy centered around three main goals: innovation, infrastructure, and international partnerships.
President Trump signed three executive orders reflecting those three pillars. Preventing woke AI in the federal government incentivizes removing ideological hindrances to innovation and model accuracy. Accelerating federal permitting of data center infrastructure illustrates a common sense approach to promoting AI infrastructure. And promoting the export of American AI technology stack recognizes that international adoption of American AI is a critical to maintaining global leadership, as is having the best frontier models.
The action plan would remove and discourage future regulation of both the development of AI technology and the construction of AI-related infrastructure like data centers, despite concerns over the potential massive energy demands and threats to individual privacy, clean water, and the environment in general. Both Kratsios and members of the subcommittee repeatedly cited a need to beat China in the race to AI supremacy as justification for the deregulation. One of those subcommittee members, Senator Ted Cruz, recently introduced legislation called the Sandbox Act, calling for temporary waivers of federal regulations for AI companies.
If China wins the AI race, the world risks an order built on surveillance and coercion.
But China's near-ubiquitous domestic surveillance network consists almost entirely of American technology, according to a recent investigation by the Associated Press. The report shows that firms like IBM, Dell, and Cisco directly pitched their software as tools for the Chinese police to control their citizens. Despite denying these claims, leaked sales pitch material employs catchphrases on crushing protests and other draconian surveillance programs. The AP says that IBM-associated agencies were actively selling its tech to various Chinese police ministries throughout the 2010s, including to the police force of the Xinjiang province, who perpetuated the persecution of the Uyghur population, resulting in the arrest and detention of more than a million people. IBM, replying to the AP's request for comment, said that, quote, "If older systems are being abused today, and IBM has no knowledge that they are, the misuse is entirely outside of IBM's control, was not contemplated by IBM decades ago, and in no way reflects on IBM today." Matthew Guareglia, a senior policy analyst at the Electronic Frontier Foundation, a nonprofit that defends digital privacy and free speech, says the rise of AI will only expand the reach and power of surveillance networks worldwide.
Surveillance is only as usable as so long as people can dig through all of that data, right? Because surveillance is just a collection of data, and the data that they're collecting is massive. Everything you do online, every phone call, every text message, you know, where you go in a day, where you spend money, financial transactions, biometric data, all of this constitutes a tremendous database. And you could plug it into an AI model and in a couple of seconds have it draw conclusions for you. So really we have to think about AI kind of like the cotton gin, right? Like because it can process cotton so much faster, it creates a desire for more cotton to be, you know, harvested and grown.
In the United States, the use of surveillance technologies in policing has risen sharply. Callie Schroeder, senior counsel at the Electronic Privacy Information Center, says precedent may suggest surveillance networks that U.S. firms help develop in China could be on their way to being implemented at home.
It's pretty common for countries to basically test surveillance and tech capabilities in other countries before bringing it back to their own. So, for example, China does a lot of tech testing in Africa. That's kind of what the U.S. may be doing here, is testing out this massive surveillance infrastructure in China and seeing how it works, but also seeing like how indignant are people about this? How accepting are people about this? How are people pushing back against the infrastructure? And this is a way to test that before bringing it back to the U.S. I get that that may sound like a very paranoid approach, but it wouldn't be unprecedented.
She called China a, quote, convenient bogeyman within the White House's rhetoric concerning the need for AI supremacy, and said there's little functional difference in what the Chinese and American governments aim to do with the data they collect from their respective citizenry.
When it comes to information gathering and to privacy gathering, I don't know that there's a meaningful difference. People will take the exact same behavior but justify it by saying, well, but we're the good guys.
Yang Kaiying, the eldest daughter of the family at the center of the AP's investigation of surveillance abuse in China and U.S. tech's role in it, said, from exile in Japan, quote, "Because of this technology, we have no freedom at all. At the moment, it's us Chinese that are suffering the consequences. But sooner or later, Americans and others, too, will lose their freedoms," end quote. For KPFA, I'm Jacques Liebarger-Martel.